Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
Our Matrix server is about as free as internet chat can be. Join the existing rooms or create your own at chat.freetalklive.com.
Declare your independence on the Free Talk Live Network.
It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here!
Ernest Hancock on the Free Talk Live Network. We have a very special treat. Jim Gale, foodforestabundance.com, is teaching us about declaring your independence from famine to make sure you can sustain yourself easily, but it's also a state of mind. I'm very happy to share this program with you, Jim Gale.
In 18 months. And by the way, we got design principles, and the permaculture principles are global principles. They work in Arizona, they work in Poland, they work everywhere in the world, right? In somewhere like Alaska, you're going to count more on proteins than you are on the varieties, right? Although there's still quite a few varieties that grow in Alaska. So we started 18 months ago with the worst possible blank canvas. And now we've got a thriving food forest that's stuns people to presence.
It's beautiful.
It's so exciting to see what's possible with nature when you stack in, when we build soil. Soil is really our ultimate tool for abundance. When we start building soil and stacking the elements, like we put compost tea, we have an analemma water system, we have we put Humigenics, Pat Miletich's product in. We put different layers of things in, and then the most important thing is just composting and worm castings, and then putting the plants in that support each other, right? So in 18 months, by the way, and this is key, we've done zero maintenance on 99% of this food forest. The only thing we've maintained is we've trimmed the pathway to make it look, and right along the pathway to make it look a little fancier. Everything else, we've completely let go. Now, normally, this would be a lawn that you'd have to mow every week in Florida. And so the expense of the resources that go into lawns is insane. Instead, we now have food growing everywhere and I'm not a farmer and I don't ever want to be. Everything about farming is wrong. We can walk outside our property any time of year and we can have a basket of food within minutes.
Now, the first exposure I had to this was a gentleman in New Hampshire that was very selective about the piece of property. You had to have, you know, the hills facing the right way in the south, you know, especially when you're in New Hampshire. And, so what he did is, a pathway through the woods that he created a permaculture like what you're talking about. So, it's time for breakfast. Well, you gotta, you know, put on your slippers and walk out the front door and go through this path and you're done. So that is a great, especially in more sunny climes like Arizona and certainly Florida, it is like, you know, food's growing freaking everywhere. Your biggest problem is stopping it, you know? So if you select the right plants, how do you select plants for nutrition, for hardiness, for combination of supporting each other? So give me your food selection. What's your criteria?
Criteria is food that is already proven to grow well in our zone. And that's how we start. We start with what food grows naturally in this agricultural zone. But then we love testing the edges. Like, we're in 9B, and we're not supposed to be able to grow a lot of types of mangoes and many other different fruits. But what we've done is we've created microclimates, water being an incredible heat sink. So we create these microclimates, and we put the plants strategically located around these particular areas. And we had a 40-year freeze in December where people that I know who have similar plants that were maybe a mile inland with no water, their plants froze. Our plants are thriving. They might have lost a bunch of leaves and foliage, but they bounced back because we had enough heat in the landscape itself to stop the deep freeze from happening.
Yeah. In Arizona, it gets down sometimes in the 20s, maybe even in the teens, a couple of days a year. You know, out in the desert, it'll get cold. And that will, you know, just limit a lot of things that you can do. Just those 2 days will, you know, take out, you know, a lot of stuff. So I'm interested in expanding the possibility of different fruit, because you go to Central America and you go, wow, that's a beautiful plant. I'd really like to have that. And it produce like mangoes and stuff. I'm going, I think I could do that. Bananas, but you got to kind of plan for it. So I need some help with that. The we've done stories. We also do an online magazine we've done, and we put a lot of growing things in. God, over a decade ago, we made a big deal out of a lot of this stuff with the charts and growing seasons and times and angles for different stuff. What about power? You know, let's talk about your energy usage. How much solar or wind or alternative, whatever, or savings of something? Are you going to count on the grid forever?
We are 100% off grid. We don't have any grid. We are 100% on solar with generator backups. And we are also collaborating with Aaron Murakami and the modern day Teslas to put in systems that they're not free energy. In fact, the whole thing about energy is all a bunch of BS. And I'll give you an example. What they've done is they showed how when they can heat water, they can create a temperature differential that spins a gear, a generator. That then generator, the energy can be harvested to charge batteries or to light light bulbs. I was in Spokane, Washington, speaking at their event where they demonstrated these systems. So now you get a solar voltaic tube. Right, these black tubes. You run water through there, and you can do this in Alaska on a sunny day when it's 20 below. Yeah. You can run water and boil water through these tubes, right? You just need the sun. The sun is a free energy system, and so is an apple tree. So anyway, they're coming in and they're installing these systems to demonstrate that we are not creating free energy that is against the laws of thermodynamics and entropy and inertia. They're simply using the current free energy systems, which are everywhere, in a way that they're meant to be used.
One of the things that we came across that was got our attention is that your excess power that you're doing from your solar, because we plan on having a much larger solar array. We already have, 6-7 kilowatts that we're have already purchased, and I'm for like getting more, and all the equipment that we're using for the build that we were building up in Maine is electric and electric hydraulics, you know, hydraulic pumps being run by electric motors, because I didn't want to have to be dependent on diesel or fuel. So I'm going, well, heck, I'm Arizona, man. I don't have enough sun. You know, I need to have electric hydraulic pumps. Well, heck, once I found that you can buy those and those work, we're all over it. Our Trommel, our, you know, block press, or, you know, all that is electric motors, hydraulic pumps. So I'm going, okay, so I got solar. One of the things is, in the desert, in the winter, it's cold. I mean, it's cold. I thought, you know, the Arcosanti is a big, you know, kind of a socialist hippie commune trying to build something for decades and never goes anywhere because there's no, you know, individual ownership. But what happens is, I was talking to these people that live up there, and they said, we spend more of our time worrying about keeping warm than we do being cool. And I'm going, yep, I can see why. You freeze your butt off. So we're going to be doing mass heater rocket stoves. There is some wood out in the desert, juniper trees and everything. But, I mean, you know, you're not getting trees. I mean, it's not going to – maybe a rocket stove you can, you know, fuel off the land. But, you know, it's freaking desert. There's not a whole lot of wood laying around. So then you go, okay, how would I heat it? If you have an excess, which we plan on having an excess solar power, we have 40 kilowatts, which is good to get us started on battery power, but they heat big giant areas like a pool size of sand that they're using induction heaters to heat the sand like you're talking about. You can get it so hot, hotter than you can get water, because water you have to get it under pressure to get it over boiling 212 Fahrenheit. So you go, you do the sand, well, you can heat through the winter a bunch of your homes. You could boil, you can do all kinds of stuff with heat sinks. So I'm going, okay, there's that. Then there's of course, batteries. What kind of batteries are you using? Are you using batteries?
Yeah, we have standard, like, high-end solar batteries right now.
We're doing lithium iron phosphate, which is for a lot of reasons, but the technology keeps changing. You know, I almost regret buying so much when we went on this trip, because I didn't know what was going to happen with supply chain and so on. I wanted, all right, get the inverters, get the electrical panels, get the conduit, get the wiring, get the batteries, get the solar panels, get the racks, get the unistruts. So we got all that ready. I'm glad it's there, but if I had waited, I probably could have got everything for 20% less. And and now the solar panels are getting smaller with more production. So I'm just going, the technology is getting stupid cheap compared to what it was. I remember my friend, he worked at the nuclear power plant until he just retired at Palo Verde out there. And he moved out in the desert to be close. He didn't have to commute so far. And they wanted $30,000 for him to hook up to, you know, the power he was making. And he goes, I think I'll decline. So he did all solar. Well, he paid up to $8 a watt. Now you can buy solar panels and everything. You get them in bulk for like, you know, 40 cents a watt. It's amazing how cheap this stuff has gotten. And I've seen the progression in his inverters, in his battery tech. He went from lead acid to nickel iron to now lithium iron phosphate. And it's just everything gets, and he's got a little, you know, 1500 watt, windmill. Cause when it blows out there, you're all pissed off because you're working on trying and things are blowing. But if you're making power, it's not so bad, especially at night. It keeps your batteries charged overnight. So this is a bunch of capability here, and I'm wondering how much power you're using. What do you rely more on, the generator, the solar generation? How much are you making? What's your storage capacity? Tell us about your energy.
Well, so far, my buddy Brian has massive amounts of solar panels because they also have two Tesla cars, and they charge everything, their cars, their house, and they love to keep the AC at like 70 degrees, and they have water fountains in the pond, so they have a massive amount. I don't have those cars, and I don't have those needs. We have never had an outage at the tiny homes yet, because we've got enough solar panels, batteries, and inverters, and I don't know the actual number of watts that we have. And I'm not saying that it won't go out, because it will. If it's cloudy for 3 days and we've got somebody that uses an excess of energy, maybe they hit the AC down to 70 degrees, then our batteries will be depleted. But to date, it hasn't happened.
Are they community batteries? Are you charging for the electricity?
Every one of our battery systems is independent. So every home has an independent system. That way, in case lightning hits or something happens, the whole system doesn't go down.
Decentralization. Yep. Now, is there a mechanism or a possibility or thinking about having the system be able to supply the system and they could make money on their array or something like that? We thought about that too.
Yeah, all that stuff is possible. Our thing is abundance. So we want to provide an abundance by putting together the right systems in the right ways and then showing other people how to do it. And by the way, that's what a Freedom Farm Academy is. Every one of these becomes like the decentralized supply center for all of the community.
As
somebody comes to me and says, I want solar. Somebody comes to your place and says, I want to have that system. Great. Call my guy. Right? I just created value by demonstrating and educating, and then I send them to somebody else, and a commission comes my way to the person who installs because of the value that I created. And the same thing goes for our water systems and our buildings and new energy world, and all the different pieces of the puzzle that we are demonstrating become value adds for everybody.
Okay. Real specific, I got a couple questions before we wrap up, but I want to make sure I get this in. The sugar sand, what was the primary nutrient adding thing that you did to that? Just take the lake dirt in the bottom and just put it on top of it? Did you mix it? Did you add any kind of what?
And so the first thing we did was we put mulch all over the whole property. Right, we put by 4 inches of mulch. We started by paying a lot of money, like probably $15,000 to get these big semis to come and dump mulch. Then we got hooked up with the local tree trimming companies,
right,
and now they've dumped $15,000 a mulch for free because they just need somewhere to dump it.
Right.
Right. So that's the first thing.
Boom. Yeah. 6 inches. I plan on the desert, wherever I'm going to be doing any agriculture, at least 6 inches of wood chips. While I'm building, it's going to be, you know, 1 to 3 years before I get done. You know, I've just let the ground freaking perk for me, man. Knock yourself out. So
Boom. This
is, I'm with you, brother. All right. Now, for the lake, did you pond line it? Did you seal it? How'd you do the lake?
I love it. So the lake, the 25-foot deep, 3.5-4 acre pond, it's a water table. So we dug the pond, and then the water started coming up, and it was brown, nasty water. So then we put in the right combination of plants. We put in duckweed, azolla, and water hyacinth. They are filter feeders. The water hyacinth grew at a rate that was exponential. It's illegal in the state of Florida to put water hyacinth in your car and transport it. That's how invasive that this plant is considered to be. But that's a lie. Water hyacinth is one of the most effective, hard-working plants there are. Within 1 year, the small patch of water hyacinth we put in, which took up about 5 square feet on the ground, like almost nothing, within 1 year, that had taken up almost probably an acre of the pond. And then it cleaned the pond. And we took the water hyacinth out of the pond, and we added 14,000 fish. Sunnies, crappies, bass, catfish, mosquito, minnows, fatheads, and shiners. And now we created an ecosystem, and the water hyacinth on the edge of the pond was a soil builder, right? And guess what? Here's the fun part. Now we're our second year in, and the water hyacinth is not invasive. In fact, it's hardly expanding at all. So once it did its job, just like dandelions. Once dandelions do their job, then they quit germinating. Same thing with all plants, all of this incredible design. Once it does its job, it will either continue to do its job, but it'll do its job in a more balanced way.
In Florida as a kid, I remember a lot of this they were doing with cattails, and you couldn't, like, stop them, you know. How's the cattail thing? Is that part of it or no?
Yes, we did put cattails, which are great resources. They're edible. There's a ton of resources to cattails. And yes, we did just installed them about 2 weeks ago.
And then, but there's no lining. What retains the water? Just a water table?
It's water table.
Okay.
Yeah.
So this is, in Florida, a lot of people, ooh, look, just go up the hill and coast down, Uncle, you know, Jimmy. You know, we want to go down the hill that, you know, is like a quarter mile of a low grade. But mostly, Florida is flat. I mean, flat, 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 Texas flat, you know. So this is the contour, the terrain where we have is relatively flat, but I wanted to have some terrain. We went all the circumference around the Valley of the Sun, Phoenix. We went hundreds of places over the last few years. Donna and I, she's a real estate agent, so she's able to, you know, schedule and do all this stuff. And finally, after a while, I go, look, you know, you know what I want. I'm, you know, not this because of that. You know, this would be great, but it's too much. This, you know, this. Then she found this place. And I'm like, I went and looked. I go, oh, baby, you pegged it. Boom. This entire valley, we can take it to like 70 miles west of Phoenix out in the desert, but it's perfect. It's, you know, this is, here we go. And it's my closest neighbor. I have one neighbor that is like half a mile away, and the rest of them are like a mile away. I mean, you know, it's, we're out in the middle of. Well, the slope of it is just enough to create almost like a sluice. They have five or six fingers that go across the property. They're only like 10 inches deep and 2-3 feet wide, these washes that you can combine them and move them to divert water, use French drains to do whatever you want. And it already has the reason we're going to be using the soil out for our building, Hyper Adobe bags, because it's a perfect mixture of like 40% clay to fine sand. It just did it automatically as an alluvial floodplain as the mountains eroded and went over this property for thousands of years. And it's up against a wilderness area. I'll have no neighbors behind me for miles, you know, 100 miles. And then, you know, it's just so I really, really wanted this place. But the managing of the water is like a big thing. And I'm wondering, as you have the, you created your own terrain, your own topography, your own slope, did you go flat? Did you try and get to where you would manage the water different areas, and how you did your drainage? Because the soil and the sand that you have there, and it's very perky, I mean, it just goes down, is similar to what we're dealing with. I'm wondering how you did it, why, what your thought process was.
Well, we use permaculture design, and because it's very complex, of course. It's nature, so it's infinitely complex. But using those permaculture design principles, they can be applied to any piece of land anywhere in the world. And the ethics and the principles are just fantastic. In fact, they also make a great business model. We use the permaculture principles and ethics as our business template as well. So that's where I'd start. Anybody out there listening, there's not a blanket answer. There's no such thing as a, you know, every design we do is custom. It's all based on multiple different factors.
So tell us about your infrastructure before you go. You know, we say, hey man, all right, hook me up. You had me at hello. Let's do it. So when you go in and you say, all right, we want to do this for these reasons, we get it. You know, rising food prices, you know, you want to get all the poisons out, GMOs need not apply, pesticides, you want to have food security, and the solution is book now! Food forests are easy to maintain and produce. Grow your own permanent edible landscape through our design and installation services. Design and installation services. Tell me about it.
Yes, so at foodforestabundance.com, we inspire and empower people to grow food. We exist to help people grow food. So then the next logical question is, how do we do that?
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
USA News, I'm Dave Collins. In response to the ongoing conflict, the U.S. is arranging for a cruise ship to transport Americans out of Israel. The warship belonging to Royal Caribbean has a capacity of up to 2,500 passengers. Those on board will be transported to the island nation of Cyprus. Texas Governor Abbott is pressuring state lawmakers to pass a plan that would allow parents to use their tax dollars to send their kids to private schools. He says it's a way to stop the woke agenda.
Our schools are for education, not indoctrination.
Speaking at a rally in front of a group of school choice advocates, the governor says that the plan also helps parents escape a situation where their children are being bullied. LinkedIn is set to let go of around 700 employees, primarily affecting the engineering department with additional reductions in finance and human resources. Dave Collins, USA News.
I had no idea it would destroy my life, but before it happened, I had a successful business in Austin, Texas. Everyone laughed at me when I shut that business down, but I could not ignore the wake-up call. I was volunteering on a project to get locally grown food into a school. That project was a complete failure, and I discovered that there were few local farmers. There's only 4 days worth of food in the grocery stores, and everything comes 1,500 miles via a just-in-time trucking system. I lost friends and family who told me I was crazy to worry about that, but I kept at it. I'm Marjorie Wildcraft. Those of us who know what's going on in the world know you need to become self-reliant before the dollar collapses. I've created a free webinar at gcnfood.com. I can show you, like I've shown hundreds of thousands of people, how to grow lots of food, even if you have no experience, you're older, or you're out of shape. Do it now, before the stores are boarded up and food is not available at any price. Go to gcnfood.com. gcnfood.com.
I am a non-attorney spokesperson representing a team of lawyers who help people that have been injured or wronged. If you've been involved in a serious car, truck, or motorcycle accident, or injured at work, you have rights, and you may be entitled to money for your suffering. Don't accept an offer you get from an insurance company until you talk to a lawyer. And we represent some of the best personal injury lawyers you can find. Tough lawyers that will fight to win your case. And they're so good they stake their reputation on it by only getting paid if you win. So if you've been in a serious car, truck, or motorcycle accident or hurt on the job, find out today for free what kind of compensation you may be entitled to. Call the legal helpline right now.
800-524-3810. 800-524-3810. 800-524-3810. That's 800-524-3810.
We still do email. Drop your email address in the entry box at freetalklive.com, and you'll be kept in the loop with Free Talk Live.
What's the question? You're listening to Ernest Hancock.
Welcome back to Declare Your Independence with me, Ernest Hancock, and the Free Talk Live Network on Genesis, and our very special guest, Jim Gale, foodforestabundance.com. This has been a really interesting conversation. And one thing that I wanted to make sure you got exposed to was his enthusiasm. And the best part of the story is, you know, he went through, you know, some self-realization of how government really works, and doing the right thing and doing good for humanity isn't always supported. He made himself a gazillionaire, had the resources to do this, went to Costa Rica trying to share with people, and then he discovered there a lot of resistance you get from just people in general. If they don't trust you, or you're from there, or don't know what you're doing, or yeah, it's always a government, man, you know. And it was bribery. They just came in and they said, hey, you want to do what you're doing? I said, you got a thing going on, a little something from the home team here. You know, we need to grease the skids for you a little bit. And you just don't feel comfortable in a situation like that. And the same things happen in the United States. They just got, you know, it's like corruption with a shiny tie. You know, it's a different way of doing it. But it's the same thing. It's curtailing the freedoms of the individuals to be able to benefit themselves, their friends, family, neighbors, community. This is, you just got to leave people alone, leave me alone. And when you violate someone else's property, when you violate their individual rights, when you violate their pursuit of happiness, when you, you know, curtail someone else's freedom, that's when I think a proper role of any government would be. In fact, that's what we were promised the Declaration of Independence. In fact, that's why this show is called Declare Your Independence. The reason was is because it described in the Declaration of Independence the only reason that you institute governments is the protection of individual rights. When it doesn't do that, it's time to alter or abolish. It's your right. It's your duty. Those are strong words, strong words, and I don't know anywhere it applies more than growing your own freaking food. Oh, my goodness, growing your own food so you're not dependent. When things get really bad, what's the first thing that people are doing? You know, during the Depression, the hobos on the trains traveling the country looking for work and so on, they had little marks that they'd put on someone's front drive, whether you could get a meal or not, or whether it was dangerous or not, or what. I mean, there was a hobo culture, which now the morality of the people now is it's so not the same. I would think that there was ethics. There was a common sense of wanting to help your fellow man to the degree that you could. You're not obligated. It might be a good idea. And what Jim Gale has done is he's created such abundance that, please, come. You know, take it. You're hungry? You got stuff here for you. You know, don't worry about it. And you know, you have community markets, you have community involvement, you get the community. And what he experienced was that, you know, hey, we need you to run for mayor of Orlando. Well, this has been a real treat, and I can see why a lot of my friends and associates and fellow talk show hosts, I've been hearing about him for months, and it was like three prominent people, for the show and in my life that within, 4 days, it was less than a week. It was like, man, you got to get Jim. Okay, well, dang, we'll be getting the boy on. So I can see why. And I understood. What I did not know was that he hadn't sought any permits. He put a sign up front, said, government man need not, come around, and put the American peace flag on. And he was stating that America recognizes three flags, the Admiralty flag, which is, maritime flag with a gold fringe kind of stuff, a lot of the sovereign citizen patriots are going on about, which has some, lineage. I've done a lot of shows on this stuff, and it is very interesting. Maybe we'll present one to you on these kinds of issues. And then there's the war flag, which is the one that we're normally with, the ones that are, have at the front of the line, and then or at the base, and then there's the peace flag, which, as I remember, it is a white instead of the blue field with blue stars instead of white. And I can't remember, but I think the red and white stripes are vertical as opposed to horizontal. But this is what he chose to represent. America at peace. Hey, I'm at peace. But you don't got a warrant. You don't got a tank. You need not come by, because we're doing the right thing with confidence. Just with confidence, we're doing the right thing. Well, I got a shiny badge and a clipboard and an always available gun to tell you you didn't get permission to do the right thing. This is a battle that has to be waged. This is people with the confidence and the competence. Competence in certain things and actually doing things, understanding history, understanding the importance of food, how to raise it ethically for the community, being a good neighbor, that gives you confidence. Because is the government coming out telling you not to do it? Are they the good guys? So I'm was very impressed with his mindset and his attitude, but he has gone through some problems. He's confronted people with power and influence and the always available gun, it always turns out, and he's made decisions. Well, one of those was come back to America. So he's in Orlando, he's doing this, and it's been a couple of years, and so far, he's been left alone. So it gives a lot of us encouragement, which is why I think people like this often get targeted. You're an inspiration. I've seen this many times before with people that are, tax truth, you know, what the law really says and what, you know, what it is when somebody puts a gun in your face. That's what it winds up being. But they don't go after the individuals that practice their freedom oftentimes. That's not, you know, who they target. It's the ones advocating, teaching other people to do it. That's who they go after. And it may not be right away. It may not be in a couple of years, but soon and for the rest of their life. So this is why it's important for you to have leadership. I mean, real leadership. You know, someone that leads, doesn't follow, leads, you know, blazes the trail, the tip of the spear. This is why it's so important to be a supporter of that. There was a viral video years ago that went on about how there's the first guy out there dancing on the hill at some, you know, music festival out on the hill, and he's, you know, dancing, kind of having a good time, and, you know, and the discussion was about, you know, well, when does that become a movement? You got the lone nut out there. It's the second guy. It's the third guy. The ones that go, yeah, you know, I'll go out there and, you know, be the fool with this fool, and because I'm supporting what they're doing. That's what we try and do. We have been, you know, a lot of times we're on the edge, you know, that's common. But, you know, a lot of the times, a lot of the shows are about being the second guy supporting the guy that's out front. You know, saying, look at this. Look. That's, you know, a very important part. Maybe you can be the second, third, fourth, 15th, 100th guy. You know, the woman that is supportive of friends, families, neighbors, a cause. This is going to be extremely important as we go into the future. It's about food, but more than that, it's about the freedom to grow your own food. Let's finish up with Jim Gale, foodforestabundance.com. So tell us about your infrastructure before you go. You know, we say, hey, man, all right, hook me up. You had me at hello. Let's do it. So when you go in and you say, all right, we want to do this for these reasons, we get it. You know, rising food prices, you know, you want to get all the poisons out, GMOs need not apply, pesticides, we have food security, and the solution is book now. Food forests are easy to maintain and produce. Grow your own permanent edible landscape through our design and installation services. Design and installation services. Tell me about it.
Yes. So at foodforestabundance.com, we inspire and empower people to grow food. We exist to help people grow food. So then the next logical question is, how do we do that? We start with helping people become aware of what's possible. So anybody can call us up and they can start with a 30-minute free consultation with one of our professional permaculture designers. And their jobs are to just help you get started. Whether you want to use the design service or not, we're here to help you get started. Then, if you want to install it yourself, once the design is done, which, by the way, is a very thorough blueprint that shows every different aspect of layers and the different plants and the guilds and everything. So if you want to do it yourself, you can do it yourself, or we may have a designer or an installer, I mean, in your area that can actually do the installation. And we also invite anybody who wants to participate to, if you want to be a designer, if you want to be an installer, if you want to simply own a Freedom Farm Academy that's an off-grid homestead that helps your community, that's what we do. We help design those into the world.
So you have classes also, or sessions, or online, or you talk about opportunities for people to go learn, meet, touchy-feely.
Yes. So, in fact, we have perma blitzes coming up all over the place. We're putting up these Freedom Farm Academies in Thailand, and I believe very soon in multiple places in Africa, in Canada, the United States. And we are doing perma blitzes where people can come and they can help the installation of these. In fact, one is at a food bank. This amazing woman named Robin. She has gotten many millions of dollars. She has a significant food bank in Texas. We are designing her land, which is currently grass, to be a Freedom Farm Academy, a food production system, where not only will she be able to give food, but she'll be able to teach her community how to grow their own food and be a supplier of that food. So anybody who wants to invest fiat and turn it into food, in any way whatsoever, we are here to inspire you to be part of this mission of creating freedom and abundance on a global scale.
All right, let's talk about the personalities and character traits of people, you know, you associate with and you, and it's developed into what? The hippie commune? Is it hippie weather people?
That.
Is it, you know, anarchist, freedom, sovereign, citizen, you know, patriotic America, whatever? I mean, you know, kind of give me the type of people that we would be associating with.
Oh, I'm so glad you asked that, Ernest. So what I learned the hard way in when I've created these communities is that there's some rotten apples out there. People that are just wicked in their thought and in their deeds. And so I use the term freedom out there a lot. I'm also very public about my declarations of not loving the government, right? Not appreciating them, knowing that they're the enemy. So with that said, we attract people who are into what we're into. We attract the ethical, right? In fact, I've got more good friends over the last 3 years than I've had my entire life. Because somehow we are rising up and attracting the right people. And so in fact, we have a couple people that left us because of our use of the word freedom. And I say good luck and good riddance.
Right.
Because if they're scared of that word, then we're not aligned.
How is the, you know, especially in the residential area, this is one of the things that is of interest to me. During the Ron Paul Levolution years, a lot of people, we got to have an intentional, go be intentional, community intentional. And Ernie, you could be this and speak every night and do that. What you think I want to do that? And I don't care. It was all about, we got to come together and go and move out to do. And I'm going, yeah, but do you want me as a neighbor? Are you sure? I mean, do you know? And I'm going, and that, your 10-year-old kid over there seems kind of rambunctious and cute and cool now, right up until he's 15 and gets a 2-stroke dirt bike. Then maybe he's not so pleasant anymore. You know,
yeah.
So how do you manage the peace and tranquility and everybody get along-isms, you know, as you have community property, tragedy of the commons, you know, this is mine, not yours, mine. How, you know, what it, for me, the ideal, I lived in a community, it was called Sunburst Farms, that had 2-acre lots. They were usually at least 2 acres. And some people doubled up. But these 2-acre lots, they had enough room for their cows, goats, chickens, sheep, horses, a lot of horses, had a alleyway. They had a common irrigation system. Every 2 weeks, you flooded 6 inches on your lawn. So I had 70-foot pine trees. I mean, you know, a bunch of citrus and so on. So, and lawn. I mean, you know, kids playing out, whatever. 2 acres was enough that kept the distance between me and my neighbors enough that if I had, you know, it's a late night, 11 o'clock at night, music concert, Jordan Page come play and do a thing or whatever, it was cool, you know. Everybody's invited, you know, it wasn't too crowded or on top of each other. Less than that, and it starts getting a little bit, you're interfering with somebody else's pursuit of happiness. So I'm wondering what size of private area you think you need for families as they grow, as you got a 17-year-old teenage boy and a muscle car. I mean, you have to be able to contend with these variations in, you know, disturbing of the peace thing. How do you do that?
Well, so there's a concept called the kin's domain, and it comes from a book series called The Ringing Cedars. And they have 1 hectare of land, which is about 2.5 acres of land. And on 2.5 acres, you could create a family homestead that just continues to stay in the family forever,
yeah,
for generations. You create everything needed on that 2.5 acres, and you can have easily a good family of 15 to 20 people living there in harmony with each other and with nature. One of my favorite developers, his name is Tag, and he is now crushing it, buying huge tracts of land and then selling them off in these communities. And his one stipulation is there is no HOA, and he's crushing it. Right. Another one is Axe de Rio, which is a decentralized real estate entity that they're just crushing it as well, using similar models. right? Taking the HOA mentality out of this and going back to shaking hands and talking face to face with people when we have issues.
Right. But how do you deal with that? Okay, this is, I'll give you a good example. Ernie, we need you to come. There's all kinds of things in Texas. There's all kinds of stuff around the country. You know, everybody wants us to play. You know, certainly New Hampshire, the Free State Project. We got a lot of friends up there that we spend time with. And I like Donna's like, no. Now it's got freaking snows here. We're going to Arizona. Yeah, but I just want it for the summer. No, you can't. You know, so I'm like, all right, whatever. So we're going to Arizona. But the thing is that when they want us to come, and I always have, when I do any presentations or give, you know, speeches and so on, different events, like we got one going to here in a little bit, and I ask three questions. You know, this is, you know, John Bush and Derek Bros are friends, and they doing their stuff, and they're really pushing, and I have them on, and we talk about it. I go, you got to answer three questions. And I ask these to you. One, what do I have to do? What's required of me? Well, you come live here, you got to fill in the blank, whatever it is. Two, what can't I do? Oh, you definitely can't do that. You know, we don't want no hogs on our community of whatever the heck. You can't do that. Well, I was kind of hoping I could do that. You know, I wanted to. So what do I have to do? What can't I do? And the third question is, what is your conflict resolution? So before we go, we'll end on this. Answer those three questions. What do I have to do? What can't I do? What's your conflict resolution?
Well, I believe in property ownership where I have the right to do anything I want that does not cause harm on my own property. And that does not cause harm to anybody else on my own property.
You got to find that.
Yeah. That's what tag success is all about as well. We follow the permaculture principles, earth care, people care, and reinvesting the surplus in a way that does good. And we haven't had any issues. You know, Brian and I are a couple years in, and we've had issues, but not really. We simply talk. And when we talk, Brian says, okay, here's how I see it. I say, okay, here's how I see it. And then we come to a great resolution every single time. Right? And that's why the undoing of natural law or God's law is in the way of direct conversation. Right? And if there ever needs to be, then we'll bring in one of our, you know, friends or wives and say, hey, what do you think about this? That hasn't happened yet. Not that it won't. It probably will because we're people.
Yeah.
But we just keep it really people to people is our solution on that.
That, you know, that selection process is, interesting for me because you have the right kind of minded people. I'm sure we would get along fine. We'd work it out. And, you know, the biggest, best advice I got from a good friend, Bob, he says, you know, his life is just so even keel. He's, you know, that very opinionated dude, does a lot of things, but he just, you know, in the old days when we were younger, his ex-girlfriends, they live with him. They move out. He's got, you know, different things going on, all this trauma and drama in his life. And there he goes, you don't sweat the cheap shit. You know, that was his advice. You just don't sweat the crap that builds up in some people's minds. They go all caring on you. And you're like, oh, you're standing next to my property line and your viruses of COVID is wafting over into my, you don't have a mask on. You know, yeah, yep. Then what? So you gotta be selective in these people. And then someone that comes in is perfectly great. Then he gets married to, you know, Karen. You know, then what? So this is why I'm so adamant about it. I don't want to live in an intentional community that doesn't have property lines that's mine. Well-defined, this line right here, mine, not yours, mine. And I get to do whatever, as long as I'm not violating your life, your liberty, your pursuit of happiness, your property. I, you know, as long as, rule one, don't be a dick, okay? That's it.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And rule two is see rule one. So this is selecting those people or attracting those kinds of people certainly work initially. And I'm very interested in how this evolves because the best way to manage this kind of thing is shunning. It's just, you know, I don't help you. We ignore you. You'd go be you over there, and you know you didn't get invited to the barn raising or something, which you're perfectly happy because you didn't want to help anybody anyway. So this is the selection process, or is it self-selection? Because your criteria for somebody to come and build on that property is what? They got money?
Well, no, I will not. This idea of stating who we are so clearly has attracted the right people. Also, if somebody crazy comes up, we're not going to sell it to anybody right away. In fact, we're sold out, so we're past that. But I've made the mistake of selling to the wrong people before, and it's a doozy. And by the way, brother, I've got to go. We've got a community gardening planting thing, which I'm the one that I put it together.
Yeah, no, so I'll let you go. We got everything. We could talk all day, but I'm really, you answered a lot of my questions. I'm kind of, I get it. And we'll be working together. Let's plan on communicating again, because I definitely want to make sure you're part of the process of what we're doing in Arizona. Would you be open to that?
Oh, I would not be open. I would love to be part of the process. And we can serve you. We've got so many layers of support that I think we can really help you.
I think so, too. Jim Gale, foodforestabundance.com. I am very glad that we made your acquaintance, and we're on the same path, man. It's just different water rainfall level.
I love you, Ernest. Thanks for your history and commitment to everything we're doing. And yes, let's change the world.
Changing the world. No fear. No fear. Jim Gale. Peace.
We'll be fighting in the streets with our children at our feet. In the morrow.
This is an urgent warning. America is heading for another major financial disaster at an alarming rate. We could see stock prices fall as much as 50%, but this time the crash could be more violent and come faster than you ever imagined. We are Advantage Gold, America's most trusted precious metals company, and we are here to sound the alarm that winter is coming for investors. And now is the time to take actions that may help protect and secure your portfolio with physical precious metals. Want to help protect your hard-earned money before it's too late? Call Advantage Gold at 800-900-8000 and request our free gold and silver survival kit today. Mention that you heard us on the radio and learn how you could get up to $1,000 in free silver coins. The number is 800-900-8000. Call now to get your free survival kit and see if you qualify for $1,000 in free silver today.
Advantage Gold is not an investment advisor or a tax advisor. Check with your financial advisor before investing.
Call 800-900-8000.
I am a non-attorney spokesperson representing a team of lawyers who help people that have been injured or wronged. If you've been involved in a serious car, truck, or motorcycle accident, or injured at work, you have rights, and you may be entitled to money for your suffering. Don't accept an offer you get from an insurance company until you talk to a lawyer. And we represent some of the best personal injury lawyers you can find. Tough lawyers that will fight to win your case. And they're so good, they stake their reputation on it by only getting paid if you win. So if you've been in a serious car, truck, or motorcycle accident or hurt on the job, find out today for free what kind of compensation you may be entitled to. Call the legal helpline right now.
800-509-4492. 800-509-4492. 800-509-4492. That's 800-509-4492.